Yes, sir.
Operator, I had to come to another phone. I was eating dinner and go ahead and put the...
Fine.
Let's know.
There you are.
Hello? Mr. President?
Yes, Dick.
How are you? Did I interrupt your dinner?
That's all right. I was eating with some folks, but I came in another room. That's why I didn't want to talk.
Oh, well, that's too bad.
No, it didn't.
I'm just sitting here with your old friend Rebozo.
Oh, give him my love. I think he's one of the finest persons
I
ever knew.
I want you to say hello to him.
I'd love to.
Great admirer of yours.
He's been awfully sweet to
me. Let me say this, that...
I'm glad you got a Rebozo, because he gave me a lot of comfort when I needed it a lot.
Right. I had a nice visit with the vice president today.
Good.
And Muskie, and they went on down to Virgin Islands. And I want you to know how much we appreciated your wire, and also Lady Bird's call to Pat. That was awful nice.
Good wish.
And as I understand it, we worked it out now that it won't inconvenience you. We'll see you at Monday at 1:30 up the
White House. That's good. That's right.
Good. Now, getting to the key point. Is there anything I could do before that on this business of South Vietnam? If you want me to do something, you know I'll do anything, because we're not going to let these people stop these peace things if you think I can do something.
Dick, I told Erickson last night I thought it'd be better do it that way than to be calling on the trips. I think this, these people are proceeding on the assumption that folks close to you tell them to do nothing till January the 20th.
You got it.
Now, we think...
I know who they're talking about, too. Is it John Tower?
Well, he's one of several. Miss Chenault is very much in there.
Well, she's very close to John.
And the embassy is telling the president, and the president is acting on this advice. He started doing it back about the 18th, following our talk on the conversation on the 16th. I had two bad breaks in the month of October. The first one came from the other side. Hanoi felt that because of what Bundy had said, Mac Bundy, that to withdraw troops, and what Humphrey had said, that he wouldn't... I will stop the bombing, period. I don't mean comma or semicolon. So Hanoi picked up the next day and went home for 2 weeks. We had it all wrapped up there and then for the meeting. Now, I don't know what will come out of the conference, but that was the way it was. They went off. In the meantime, these messages started coming out from here that Johnson was going to have a bombing pause to try to elect Humphrey, and that they ought to hold out because Nixon will not sell you out like the Democrats sold out China. And we have talked to different ones. I think they've been talking to Agnew. I think they think that they've been quoting you indirectly, that the thing they ought to do is to just not show up at any conference and wait until you come into office.
Right.
Now, they started that, and that's bad. They're killing Americans every day. I have that documented. There's not any question but what that's happening. Now, I said to you in that last talk that I don't believe you know it or you're responsible for it. And I said, you know, when I talked to all three of you that time, but I said, we have problems. I looked over that transcript the other night. We have problems. I think we can work them out. I believe Chu will ultimately come, but there are problems. Now, they're problems because these people are telling them that. Now, I think the wise thing to do from the standpoint of your country and from the standpoint of your presidency, and I hope you believe me, I want to help you. I want to help you. I don't want to trick you or deceive you. I want peace. And I don't want to get some Democrat in a favorable position over you. But I think they ought to go to that conference. Now,
let me ask you this. Is there anything we could do right now?
Yes, I think you ought to have whoever you trust the most in Washington. Whoever you're...
the ambassador?
Yes, sir. Go to the ambassador and say to him, I told the president when he proposed these 3 points. Number one, he assured me that he would not be for a coalition government. president has assured me that.
That's right.
The president assured me he'd never recognize the NLF. So I have those assurances from him.
Right.
The president's going to be as strong on this as I am. But the president thinks that if we're to support South Vietnam through the years ahead, that we must be willing to meet at a conference table. Now, that's
right.
All we're asking. Now, you cleared that on the 7th and on the 16th and on the 28th. At least that's what South Vietnamese did. They all cleared it.
Right.
Therefore, Mr. Ambassador, I think you ought to tell the president that I support our president on going to the conference, and I think you ought to go. And if they try to sell you out, you don't have to agree. But you ought to go because the Fulbrights and the Mansfields and even the Dirksons will not go along with anybody that won't go to a conference table. Now, that's where they are tonight.
Let me ask you this. About the ambassador, is I met him about 5 or 6 months ago. Does he have any influence with that government?
Yes, he is. He is giving them these signals, and he is telling them that he has just talked to New Mexico, and he has just talked to the Nixon people, and they say, "Hold out, don't do anything. We're going to win, and we'll do better by you." Now that's the story, Dick, and it's a sordid story. I told you that Sunday when I talked to you. You remember when I talked to Smathers and Dirksen?
Right.
Now, I don't want to say that to the country because that's not good.
Right.
But they are playing that game. I don't think you're playing it, and I'd get off that hook. I'd just say to them, you go to that conference, and you protect your country, and I'm going to support our president as long as he doesn't agree to a coalition government, as long as he doesn't agree to recognize the NLF, as long as he stands on the conditions he does, and we're united, and don't depend on me to give you a better deal.
We'll do that. Now, let me ask you this. Who would be the best one to, who do you think the ambassador, who should I have talked to him? You got anybody in mind that...
no, I don't know.
Could Dirksen do it?
Yeah, I don't know whether Dirksen has any contact or not. I trust Dirksen. I think Dirksen is he's not for any communist takeover, and at the same time he's intelligent.
Also he's considered to be a. Why don't we? Let me try this out. Why don't I get see if I can get Everett to go over to the ambassador and lay it on the line with him.
That's what I
say that he speaks for Nixon and John. Let me say this, Mr. President. There's nothing that I want more than to get these people to that table. And, matter of fact, as I told you on the phone, and I said publicly, I'll even go out there if necessary to get them there. But I think that'd be a grandstand stunt, however, and it would not be the best way. But if you think the ambassador has influence, I'll have Dirksen talk to the ambassador. Or I could do it myself, if you think that'll help.
I think it would help. I'd just call him on the phone and say, I want you to know this. I don't want your people to get off key. I'm talking to the president every day.
Right.
And the president has assured me he's not going to do anything that we don't understand. And you tell your president that he better get his people that conference and get them that quick. And what he does there is a matter for his judgment. But he oughtn't to refuse to go to a room and meet.
Okay, we'll work on it.
Okay, Dick.
Now let me ask you this, one other thing. Tell me about the Helm. What do you think of Helm?
I think he's a career former UPI man I never heard of. I appointed an admiral when John McCone left because I wanted to be sure I didn't get a patsy or soft guy in there, and we had too many of them here. The admiral took it over, and this Helms was the deputy. I consider him...
Let me ask your candid opinion. Would you continue him?
Yes, I would. Yes, I would. If I were you, I'd continue him. And if I were taken over from you, I'd continue him. He's objective. He's a reporter. He was an old UPI man. He's fair. He's not an advocate. He's anti... he's anti-communist.
When we met him out at the ranch, I was very impressed by him, and I remember during you. You feel that way, do you?
Yes, I never heard of him until I appointed him. He was a deputy to this admiral that I had, and he's extremely competent. He's succinct. He tells you as it is, and he's loyal.
Let me ask you to do this as a person. Would you mind so I think it'd be a nice way to work transition. If you could tell him sometime before we meet on Monday that we've talked and that, well, I don't want to say it now, that we planning to continue him. Would you do that?
Oh, yes, yes, I'd be glad.
Because I think it's good that we have a, you know, a good... Now, on this fellow, the ambassador, he speaks English pretty well.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Well, we could talk to him. I don't think we ought to go on the phone, though. Maybe I ought to, but I don't want him to come down. Maybe I could see him when I come up to Washington. That might be a better thing. And, no, I might get to him before that, though. Maybe Dirksen is the best one to...
I would write out whatever I said, and what I would say, Rusk said yesterday.
Yeah.
And Rusk is the best advisor you can have until you get a man you have that much confidence in. He'll play his fair with you, and I'll bet my life on it, as he will with me. He's a good man. Rusk said if I were Nixon, I would write out one sentence, and I'd say, I support the President of the United States in going to the conference as soon as you can, and thereby they're discussing the problems at issue, and we are united on that. Now, the President has given me assurances that he's not for recognizing the NLF as an independent entity, and he's not for coalition government. And that's what you say you want, too. So you go on and talk it over. And if you can settle it, I'll be the happiest man in the world. If you can't, when I come in, I'll assure you that the President will work with me in trying to settle.
Actually, if we can get him to talking before that, it'll be much better, though.
It certainly will, because you won't...
This 60 days is the best time to get the damn...
You won't have 10 men in the Senate support South Vietnam when you come in if these folks refuse to go to the conference.
Absolutely. Well, I'll get on it. As a matter of fact, we'll try to get... I'll try to get Dirksen on the phone now and see if we can arrange to have this fellow, I'll work it out. You don't need to worry about that. We'll try to get to him. And I can just put it quite directly that we want him to go to the conference, period, and that you and I agree completely on what ought to be done.
I would do it, and I'd say we'll be in touch each day, and that he can be sure that he can tell his President that this government's going to operate as one, before and after.
Right.
And I'm not going to make any decision there that will adversely affect those people without talking to you and without talking to them.
Well, of course, the point...
I haven't stayed in this thing 5 years to throw it away the last 5 weeks.
The point is, too, that you've always... your position has always been basically, as I told you, you've taken the position which was... extremely unpopular and which was right, and so therefore I want to support you on it. We're going to do it, and there's no question about that. I want you to know that.
Thank you, Dick.
Now, the only difficulty is now, does Russ think this ambassador... I don't know the fellow well enough. I met him in New York about in April or May, and he's a...
Russ told me last night that Nixon ought to do one or two things, that I'll go see Nixon if you want me to.
Yeah.
I said, I think that will highlight a problem, and there'll be a lot of press around,
right,
and it'll embarrass Nixon and embarrass you. And he said...
I should just talk to the ambassador.
He said that we ought to do one or two things. You ought to pick out whoever you're going to have Secretary of State or whoever your closest friend is to go tell him, or you ought to say in writing just... two sentences I want you to know. Pick up the phone and tell him, I want you to know that I believe your country ought to go to this conference. It's going to make it hard for all of us if you don't.
Right.
And the President talked to me about it before we had the conference, and he's going to talk to me about what happens at the conference, and you don't need to feel insecure. We're going to stay with you and be fair, and I can give you that assurance. And you ought to tell them that they're going to hurt themselves, though, if Fulbright and Mansfield... Mansfield's...
The country will not support...
Mansfield's coming in to me tomorrow to say to them to go straight to hell and go on and negotiate a get-out with Hanoi. That's what he's coming. He's the leader of the Senate.
You can't do that because we got to... That way you'd leave all those boys out there alone.
I sure can, or pull them out and leave them there alone.
That's what I mean, yeah.
But if this damn fool just sits back and says today, he says that he wants to go and head the United States delegation and tell us what to do, and under our Constitution, I couldn't do that.
No, that's right.
So
all right,
what he's doing, Dick, these people, they thought that we were going to trick you and try to pull a bombing halt to defeat you, so their judgment was that they ought to take out insurance and get them to screw the thing up where no good would come. Now, we're not trying to do that, and I'm not, and I think that American boys are being killed every day. We ought to tell this folk to go to the conference, and we're going to support South Vietnam after the election, just like we did before.
And if they go, then there's a better chance for them than if they don't go.
Oh, of course.